And that in this deceased person is very faithful,
right.
always there, very good parent. And you just wonder, you know, what happened?
You know, and it I notice a lot at Mass about what's going on around me. And one of the things that is really inspiring to me, and this is sad to say that it sometimes seems like the exception more than the rule, but is to look around and see those young people who have graduated mm-hmm. from Catholic instruction their whole lives, and they may not be there with their parents. Mm-hmm. So it's not a parental influence mm-hmm. necessarily, but they're there at Mass. And that really gives me some inspiration and some hope, because there are some children that are getting it
mm-hmm.
and certainly must have had some encouragement and instruction at home and some values instilled in them in mm-hmm. our faith that they're there at Mass by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And but lots of times, you know, I think one of the things that is kind of concerning to me is the parental influence
yes.
on these children, because look, I mean, school can't go on forever, and there has to be some importance to the faith instilled in some discipline. I mean, I've said many times, Catholicism's not merely a religion; it's a lifestyle.
Oh, correct.
I mean, if you do it the way God intends and Christ intended, it's how you live your life. As much as your heart beats, as mm-hmm. much as your brain thinks, your faith should be the vital function.
That's correct, because, you know, at the baptism, you know, they say yes to being the primary teachers of their children in the ways
yes.
of faith. And
godparents as well.
Right. And that is so important, because if they're not doing the faith, if they're not practicing it, but then in school, we teach the young people to practice their faith, they're getting two mixed messages.
Right.
And it's like, what do I do? Which one do I follow? And I've said this before, I don't know if I said it on here before, but I mean this sincerely. I'm not being a smart aleck here. I'm not trying. But if we could capture the adherence, the dedication, the giving anything I will to the faith as we do for sports,
yeah,
there'd be no problem. And I love sports.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm saying is parents will do anything. If we have 6 inches of snow, they'll get them to the practice or to
right,
the game.
Right.
But if we have 2 inches of snow, sometimes you're going to call off Mass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get my kid to that 6 a.m. practice 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But will they get them to an 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. Mass? Yeah. No, they're too tired.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to be smart here in that sense. I'm being very, very sincere. If we could capture
yes
that, we'd have a different looking church.
Yep.
And so our it's a matter of priorities.
It is.
And that's where it comes to the parents. Parents said no.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to Mass, and that is a priority in our house, and that's where it needs to start.
Right. You know, there's some ads, Dave, that have been playing on.
Yeah, from the bishop.
Yeah,
about going to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah, and one of them I thought was really interesting was about the parents who run shuttling the kids from mm-hmm. activity to activity all week, and instead of the kids saying, "Well, why do we have to go to Mass? I already went at school this week," you know, mm-hmm. and instead this one is the parents saying to the child, "You know, we're just going to stay in today. We're not going to go." And the child's saying, but we need to go. You know, it says we should mm-hmm. attend on the weekends. And the parents say, you've already gone this week. You don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. We're taking a break. And I thought, wow, that's pretty profound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Says a lot.
If Father, I want to clear up one thing here about Synod before we end today. You know, a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters have conferences or annual conferences where they get together nationwide and make changes in their rules or their doctrine, or they reevaluate social issues. You know, some of the churches are pro-life, and then because of the social pressure and donations and different things, they change their doctrine and they become pro-choice. And they vote on this. The lay people in the ministry all vote on to make these changes to fit the church more in with social issues. I just want to confirm that the Synod is nothing like that.
No. We're not changing doctrine. We're not changing beliefs, if, you know, in that sense. No. This was, how can we, in essence, it was maybe a goal setting, you know, as a company, a strategic plan. Let's put it that way. That's amazing. What is our strategic plan as a diocese moving forward for the next 5 to 10 years? What is going to be our focus? How can we really be what the Lord has called us to be? We are taking it from a discipleship and stewardship. So it's not changing anything like just what you said.
Right. So it's all within the purview of the magisterium.
Absolutely.
And the catechism.
Correct.
And tradition.
Okay. Correct.
Because I've had some people say, well, what do you think they're going to come up with at that thing? And, you know, I say it's not like the conferences that you hear about that maybe the United Methodist Church or one of the other churches has, where they discuss what their priorities are going to be. We know what ours are. This is just the objectives to reach the goals set within the purview of all of the church teaching.
Correct.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. And Father said he's going to stay with us and he'll give us the gospel preview. Does that sound good?
He's not going to charge extra. We barely
just for you, Mark.
Yeah, well, we were barely able to come up with these demands to get him on.
Knowing
here,
you, you'll throw another dollar in the
I probably
this weekend.
Will.
Okay, listen, this is the Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy. Father Joe's our guest. We're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side with this Sunday's gospel preview. So stay with us. Alrighty, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert. Father Joe is with us this morning. We've been talking about the Synod, and we've discussed what was presented at the Synod and what the goals and objectives are going to be for the diocese, for the Synod, for the next few years. A few years, we hope, and we pray for success for all of the hard work that the Synod put forth over the past year.
And the hard work that will be put forth by the clergy and the lay.
And that people will answer that call.
Exactly.
Amen. Father, would you like to read us the gospel for this next Sunday?
I'd be honored. Our gospel comes from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him they said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
praise
Lord,
to you,
Jesus Christ.
So what do you say about that, Father?
Well, just kind of a interesting tidbit. You know, the whole idea of married clergy.
Yes.
Simon's mother-in-law was cured. There's only one way you get a mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's true.
that is that Simon Peter was married. So just a little tidbit there. I'm not advocating either way. I'm just saying at least Simon the apostle was married. I think that's the gospel there just shows us Jesus, if you will, schedule for the, he was busy. He cured Peter's mother-in-law. He cured many others. Then he went out and prayed. And then he went out and preached. And it's just interesting. That was Jesus' calendar.
Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
I mean, most of our priests are running constantly. I mean, like the person at the circus keeping the plate spinning.
I mean, day to day. Yeah. I mean, before I came here, I mean, I went upstairs and anointed someone.
Yeah.
So you just do that. Right. And that's part of our ministry, is to do what Jesus did. You know, anointing, curing, helping, preaching. But it just shows that even Jesus needed to pray.
Yeah.
It shows that he wanted to be one with his Father in heaven in that silence and in that meditation. And it's interesting. The whole town was out there.
Yeah.
Everyone is looking for you. You know, do we have that same desire? Are we looking for Jesus? Would we take time to find him, whether it's upstairs here at St. Mary's in the chapel for a 24-hour Eucharistic adoration? Is it time at home spent doing what Jesus did, praying? How much trouble do we go to, do we take to pray? I know it's one of Mother Teresa's beautiful lines. Take time to pray, and I love this, take trouble to pray.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because sometimes it is. We have to take this, we got to go here, we got to stop what we're doing, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And look what Jesus could do because of that prayer, the healing, the preaching. And so it gave him energy and direction.
Yeah.
And so Jesus knew, he says, that's what I have come to do. That's for that purpose have I come. And so Jesus knew what he was to do. What about us? Do we know what we are to do in our faith?
And do we act on it?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it's not only knowing it, it's making sure that we do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings me to something I wanted to ask you, Father, and that is, I know all of the churches need volunteers. They need ushers. They need extraordinary ministers readers. Of Holy Communion, readers, servers, everything.
Money counters.
People need to really search their souls and see if they're not being asked to take a more active role in your parish, at Mass, in a role of start out as, you know, if an usher, help collect the, you know, unfortunately we don't have to usher a lot of people to seats, but
anymore.
Pick up the collection and be vigilant during Mass and that type of thing. There are a lot of ways that Jesus can call us, and part of that is to be an active participant in Mass, not just in prayer in the Eucharist, which is an active participant,
correct,
but a motivated role somewhere where you're doing something. And, you know, and my story started out just getting tapped on the shoulder to be an usher. And from there, you know, I took additional roles. Mm-hmm. And you just have to, again, I'll say it, step out of the boat like Peter did.
Our comfort zone.
Trust
one
God.
Of his, and, one of his, my favorite homilies of his.
Mm-hmm. And we just got to follow him. We just have to put forth the effort, put forth, as you said, the trouble to pray, the trouble to be involved.
Yeah, because we, you know, we expect Jesus to take trouble at times for us. Come to my assistance.
Immediately.
Help me.
The way I want you to do it.
Correct. So are we there to help him? And it's, you know, it's our church and it's our Mass. I mean, in the sense of it's the church's Mass, but I mean, it's us being there to help, you know. The priest can do a lot, but he needs the people. You know, it's us celebrating Mass, not just the priest.
Right.
And so we need to be part of that. And it's a beautiful way of service, because that's what our faith calls us to. And it's also to say, how can I be more involved? How can I be more attentive to what is needed? And it's easy to say, let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
But we need to be those us's at times.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Father Joe, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
We always have great discussions when you're here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Anytime.
Well, and you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we're going to see if there's anything for the calendar of events coming up for the parishes here locally.
Well, okey-dokey.
And we'll do that when we come back after this. Thanks again, Father Joe.
Yep.
We'll see you soon.
Well, you're welcome.
Good to
see
you.
Can we get your blessing before we go?
Oh, certainly. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of WDCR. Those who program, those who listen. Just help all of us to be those people of prayer, those people of action, putting our faith into practice so that we can be an example to all the world. Help us to be those dedicated and determined disciples to make you known, Lord, in the world. In that, may we be good stewards of all that you have given us, giving back to you in gratitude for what you have blessed us with throughout our lives. And Lord God, once again, we come before you asking you to bless us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. My honor.
I'm energized now. Look out, world. Here I come.
Would you like a special way to dedicate a birthday, anniversary, or perhaps a memory of a loved one? Consider WDCR's Dedicate a Day, where your tribute will be on the air. For just $88.90, it's a great way of saying, I'm thinking of you today, or I'm remembering you today. Please call WDCR at 464-1099 for more information on how you may dedicate a day. All right. Welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert. It's time for the community calendar.
All right.
And, Mark, I'm going to start it off. In fact, I have an announcement from St. Teresa High School from Principal Larry Daly and Athletic Director Todd Golan.
They accepted me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're okay.
In the Hall of Fame.
Oh, awesome.
Brad Dalton has been named St. Teresa's head volleyball coach for the 2018-29 school year. Mr. Dalton has served as head coach of MacArthur High School since 2015 in volleyball. He was the head coach at the High School of St. Thomas More over in Champaign from 2011 to 2014. He's coached volleyball in various capacities throughout Central Illinois since 1999. Larry Daly, the principal at St. Teresa High School, said, Brad is an outstanding candidate and will help carry on the long, proud tradition of St. Teresa girls volleyball.
That's great.
Brad replaces Rhonda Glidewell, who resigned her position in December. Todd Voland, athletic director, stated, we're happy to have Brad Dalton here at St. Teresa. They plan to meet with the team in the near future to outline summer activities, and then volleyball begins in the fall.
Well, cool.
So we're bringing on a quality coach to, you know, that team out there has gone places.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, they are dynamite.
This is a great step for the program, and we're welcoming Brad Dalton to our St. Teresa community.
Yes, we do. Whatever you said, I'm not even going to try.
Sometimes saying welcoming, unless you really think about it, it comes out wrong.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, what do you got over there?
Well, I want to talk about chocolate.
You do?
Yeah, there's going to be a chocolate extravaganza here at the hospital, just outside the cafeteria.
It's a good thing it's not just outside the studio.
Yeah, exactly. We never make it to the cafeteria.
Or the studio.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be on Tuesday, February 13th. Now, this is a way to prime your system for Valentine's Day candy, folks. The day before, there's going to be a chocolate extravaganza here, sponsored by the Auxiliary at St. Mary's. Starts at 7 a.m. and get this until sold out. So I'm thinking maybe 7:10 it'll be over with. You can also get raffle cards for tickets, I think most people call them, for $5 each, or three for $10. They accept cash, debit, or credit cards. Are trying to move this chocolate, Dave.
Hey, I mean,
they're any way possible.
Well, but they have to take debit and credit cards because who has cash in this day and age? I mean, honestly.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And, you know, here at WDCR, we can take credit cards now.
We sure can.
464-1099.
Hey, that's right. Good move. I like that. You impressed me.
That was a segue.
I believe it was. Now, the most caring team for your most important delivery, your child, is inviting you to an open house on Wednesday, February 7th, on the third floor of our hospital here at St. Mary's, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. So no excuses. I got to work, won't be off till 5. From 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., Wednesday, February 7th, on the third floor, you're invited to an open house for the maternity. Go Red for women, folks. Friday, February 2nd. Well, that's like tomorrow, right,
yeah,
Dave?
Yep.
Holy cow. From 9 to 11 a.m., And there's going to be a Go Red table in the main lobby for giveaways and information about cardiovascular disease in women. And we know, Dave, that the signs aren't the same as they are for
different
men.
Different for men and women.
And women really need to be enlightened to what some of their symptoms may be, because there are, this is a dangerous thing we're talking about. So wearing red every Friday in February will remind others, to, particularly women, to know their signs and get their information.
All right. Well, you're going to be leaving me for a while again,
aren't
you?
I am,
buddy. I am. The cradle will be here, and we'll find another co-host for a couple of weeks, because you're heading back to Florida.
I am.
Get out of this nasty weather.
Yep.
I'm heading down there at the end of February.
I know.
So
that's going to be exciting.
I think the girls will have a show, and I think Dan Walker is going to sit in for us while we're both gone. So it's always great to be here, and we can listen to the show anywhere in the world now. You
Absolutely.
Can tune it in from Florida. You can get it in your car, online.
Stream it.
Stream it online, listen to it in the car. There's just so many different ways that you can tune in to WDCR and Decatur Catholic Radio and listen to the different takes that folks have on the Catholic religion and Catholic life.
Did you think we'd be here, Dave, 2-3 years ago, whenever it was we started the show?
No, I it was a big deal to get a local show on, and there's a lot goes into putting together.
Man.
This is just 1 hour a week. I couldn't imagine having a 3-hour-a-day show or something.
Like some of the relevant.
You'd have to have a staff and writers and people that are out seeking ideas for you, finding guests to come in, because you and I basically go out and search for the guests.
Pluck them off the internet.
We try to find somebody that has something interesting to say, something timely.
Right.
To deal with things that are going on now. It's not all that easy. I had a guest that I wanted to get us, but he's in a speaker's bureau, which means I would have to pay to interview him on the phone.
That's very prevalent now.
Yeah, and, you know, we're non-commercial radio. We don't have income other than what you, our listeners, give to us.
Which is what keeps us rolling, folks.
Yeah, it pays the bills and keeps us on. And, you know, there's plenty of other things. The thing that I was going to talk about and I couldn't get the guy, one of the other shows will pick it up and you'll learn about it. So we more or less try to stay focused on local issues.
And, you know, Dave, part of that prep is us educating ourselves to know what to ask.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do some research ourselves before the show to learn about the topic our guest is going to be addressing, so that we can pull out information we think you folks who are listening to us. Those questions, if they come to us, they surely come to you. So, you know, we got to get in there and find out your answers for you.
Yeah. And as always, Mark and I are open to any suggestions that you, our listeners, have of someone you would like for us to have on the show, someone from your parish, someone from our diocese, or, an author. We can get people. If you have suggestions, give us a call here at WDCR at 464-1099. Ann will be happy to talk to you and help us see if we can get a subject on that you would like to hear about. You can also reach us through email at contact@wdcrradio.com. That's just contact at wdcrradio.com. And we have a Facebook page, 88.996.5 WDCR Catholic Radio on Facebook. We'd really like it if you'd give us a look at that and hit the like button. I think the more likes you get, the more goodies you get to use on Facebook, you know, emojis and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, how about that?
And we try to keep that updated with who's going to be on the show next week, or if we find a prayer or something interesting to share with you, we put that on Facebook. But we are always looking for listener input. Mark and I, we talk to people around town that hear the show and enjoy it, and we enjoy doing it.
We do.
But it's always good to have input on what you, our faithful Catholic radio listeners, want to hear. What you want to have us discuss, or a listener, or a speaker, a guest that you'd like to hear.
And, you know, Dave, I've become a person of lists now, something I didn't used to have to do.
But that's back when you were listless?
Yeah, exactly. and now I seem to have something come into my mind, and then it's gone. And when it crops back up several days, weeks, months, years later, it's, I wished I'd done that. So, folks, if you have some thoughts that come to you about your Catholic faith and you're needing the answers, and you listen to Father Simon and Monsignor Swetland, and they haven't touched on it yet, jot that down and send it. And we'll see if we can get answers for your questions.
Yep. Well, another show has wrapped up. We want to thank Father Joe for spending time this morning with us and filling us in on what went on at the Synod. We're all going to have to work on our stewardship, and we're going to spread the faith, and we'll find out the objectives to reach the goal of what the diocese has set for us. That's about all I've got today, Mark.
Yeah, I'm packing right now. So. Are you? Yeah. Not that I'm in a hurry to get away from winter.
Well, I know it. You're leaving early next week.
Yep.
So on next week's show, so far I believe we're going to have a special guest from HSHS Hospital Sisters to talk about a project that's going on here at the hospital. And I'll have to see who wants to sit in the number one chair over there.
Not
where
number
you're at.
One. And, it says right here I'm number two on my microphone.
But you've got to try harder.
Oh, okay. That's not easy for me at this stage.
What would you like to close with as a prayer this morning, Mark?
Oh, how about the Hail Mary?
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father,
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, I wish you safe travels, my
friend.
Thank you,
Dave.
Stay in touch.
You know, I will.
You know when we record, call in and we'll say hi.
All right.
And for Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew on The Cradle and the Convert, we'll talk to you next week. God bless.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.